Have you ever noticed how kids ask a lot of questions? I don't even notice that. They ask a lot of questions. And one of their favorite questions is, why? Yeah, why? Why this? Why that? Well, one time a little boy came up to his mom and said, "Mom, why do brides wear white at weddings?" And the mother says, "Well, honey, that's because it symbolizes purity. And so it shows all of the relatives, family, and friends that the bride is pure." Little boy is satisfied. "Okay, thanks, Mom." He goes, but you know, like what little kids do, they like to double check things. So the little boy went to his dad and poses the same question. "Dad, why do brides wear white at weddings?" The father looks at his son and says, "Son, every household appliance comes in white. It's been said he didn't hear the gun go off." I don't want to be the person who clapped for that, man. I heard that clapping. Hey, I want to welcome you this morning. We are focusing on our series from this day forward. We're looking at how can we build strong marriages for those who are married, and how can we give tools and prepare those who aren't married so they can have a healthy relationship. I want to greet everyone who's here in the house and our online church family. Thank you for being with us. And today we're talking about the topic of purity. That's why we had the purity joke there and the kitchen appliance. But I want to just kind of review and get you up to speed for those who maybe missed. In week one, we talked about, now we've been repeating these five commitments to fail-proof your marriage, so you should get a, what was week one? Yes, you can cheat by looking on the screen, all right? It's one time that this is okay to cheat here, not on your spouse, but you can cheat on this, all right? Seek God. We talked about seeking God. We need to pray and seek the one with our two if we're married. And if we're single, we pray and seek God as we wait for our two. In the second week, we talked about fighting fair. How do you fight fair? And we talked about that and unpacked that. Some very practical ways, things that you need to pick up. If you have a problem fighting, or I should say, you have a problem having a good time fighting, when you make up that you're just always on pins and needles, you're always bashing heads, I encourage you to go ahead and watch that message online. Last week, we talked about having fun. Give a cheer if you had a little fun this last week. All right, some of you had a little fun. We talked about three ways to have fun. There's face-to-face, talking, communication, side-to-side, doing things together, and then belly button to belly button. I told you remember that. Yeah. All right, this week we're going to talk about staying pure, and then we'll wrap this series up with never give up. I want to ask a question this morning for all those who are married. How many of you, and actually I'll throw this out to everybody, how many of you, when you get married or as you are married, when you were looking at getting married, how many planned to say, you know what, my goal in marriage is to have an affair? Raise your hand, okay? I don't see a single hand up, okay? I don't see anyone doing that. How many of you, before you got married, you say, my goal when I get married is to become addicted to pornography? Raise your hand. I want to have this massive addiction to pornography. Just put your hand up. Okay, no hands for that. Let's just kind of dial it back a little bit. Let's lower the bar, okay? How many of you, when you got married, you said, you know, I'll just have an emotional affair. I'll give my heart to someone besides my spouse. Raise your hand. I don't see a single hand going up. None of us plan to do that, and yet studies show that half or even 75% of the people who get married will do one of those things. Why is that? We don't intend to do that, but we don't stay pure. We need to stay pure. I think all of us would realize the importance of purity because, number one, when we're not pure, first of all, it erodes our intimacy with God. And secondly, it damages and can even destroy our relationship with our spouse. Staying pure is vitally important. And probably one of the greatest verses that talk about purity in marriage is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. I want you to help me out here. It says, marriage should be honored by whom? It should be honored by all. So that means if you're married, you honor the covenant of marriage. And even if you're not married, you honor the covenant of marriage. All of us should honor Mary. And then it goes on to say, the marriage bed should be kept what? It should be kept pure. That's right. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. The adulterer is the person who is married and steps out and has sex outside of his marriage, outside of his spouse. The sexually immoral are those who are not married and they're having sex before they're married. God covers the whole gamut, and purity in marriage is to be honored by all. It matters to God and it matters to your marriage. Today, I want to talk about purity, and we're going to talk a little bit about adultery. And here's an interesting thing. There have been studies that have gone on for years that talk about how do people think about their attitudes towards cheating. In 1969, Gallup poll conducted a survey, and it's only 68% of Americans believed that affairs were always wrong. 68%, all right? In 1973, the University of Chicago National Opinion Research Center, they did a survey, and they found that that attitude went up to 84% of Americans felt that adultery was always wrong. In 2001, a Gallup poll found that 89% felt that adultery was always wrong. And then in 2022, another Gallup poll found that that had stayed the same. What's interesting is that over the course of time, even though people's attitudes about adultery being wrong is going up, more and more people are having affairs. There was a study by the University of California, and they found that from 1998 to 2008, the percentage of people that committed adultery doubled. It doubled in that time span, even though their attitude said it was wrong. And the Journal of Marriage and Divorce estimates that 70% of married Americans will cheat at least once in their marriage. And then here's a really interesting statistic. 56% of men and 34% of women who commit infidelity, they rate their marriages as happy or very happy. You know, to me, that doesn't make sense. If you're happy or very happy with your marriage, why would you step out on your spouse? But over half of men do it, and over one out of three women do it. Why is there this increase in impurity if we believe it's wrong? And I believe there's three reasons. I've listed them there in your notes. There's actually a lot of reasons, but these are three notable ones. The first one is that there are more temptations today than there are in the past. There are more temptations today than there were in the past. One, we have Facebook flings. Somebody goes on to Facebook and they find an old flame from their high school or college days. They connect with them. One thing leads to another and they're in an affair. Or they just begin to befriend someone online and they become friends. And that relationship starts through a Facebook fling. Another thing that happens is there are websites that are completely devoted to helping you cheat on your spouse. It's sad, it's disgusting, but there are websites devoted to you being able to cheat on your spouse. Just as you can go to Craigslist and you can buy, you know, a drill or a hammer or a car or a sofa, you can buy a prostitute. You can purchase a one-night stand. Now realize, Craigslist is not my list, okay? I just want to clarify that, all right? But no, there's websites that are devoted to that. Also, we have smartphones and iPads. And this is really probably the biggest game changer of them all. You know, when I was a kid, if you're my age or older, if you wanted to look at porn, you needed to know a kid whose dad had a stash somewhere, like up in the attic or under the bed. That was the only way you could get it. But now, all you need to do is be an 11, 12, 13-year-old with a smartphone, and you can see anything, not just a picture, but a video, you know, in live action, anything that you want. And we are living in a society that is more temptation than any generation before is, and that's why impurity is ramping up. There's another reason I believe impurity is ramping up, and that's because people are getting married later. People are getting married later. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting married later, but it changes some dynamics. Because in our culture, and realize this is not God's standard, but in our culture, when people date, they usually what? Have sex. They have sex. So in our culture, since you're going to wait till maybe 25, 30 or longer to get married, if you have more dating partners, that means you have more sexual partners, and that means you're bringing more sexual baggage into the marriage. And as you're dating and you encounter difficulties and you break up, well, what has happened is you've been training yourself, because if you've had, you know, 5, 10, 17 partners and you break up when something gets bad, now in marriage, when you run into difficulty, you've been training for breaking up. You've been training for divorce because, well, this is tough, it's hard, it's just time to break up again. And so that is another reason why there is more impurity, because we are living in a society that gets married later. There's a, in your notes it says, you don't build a life of purity on a foundation of sin. You don't build a life of purity on a foundation of sin. We need to be a people that is pure. You wait until you find the one, actually until God brings you the one. That's God's plan, the marriage bed be kept pure. And then there's a third reason, and it's a growing sense of entitlement. A growing sense of entitlement. If I want it, I'm going to get it. If I'm not getting it in marriage, I'm going to get it. You know, well, if she would just, if he would just meet my emotional needs, I'm entitled to being satisfied. I'm entitled to bow down to the false god of happiness. God wants me to be happy. When I was a youth pastor over 30 years ago, I know it was a while, I know I don't look that old, but when I was a youth pastor, one of the dads of the kids in my youth group, that was his very sense. He had an affair, and he left his wife and three kids, and his reasoning was this: this affair makes me happy. God is my father. A good father makes his children happy. Now, he didn't say that to me, because if he said it to me, I would have looked him straight in the face and I says, well, does this affair make your kids happy? You know, what does that mean? You're a bad dad. The thing is, he had this sense of entitlement. I'm entitled to be happy. And we see this sense of entitlement growing in our society more and more today. I'm going to be happy, so I'm going to do whatever it takes, even if it means stepping out on my spouse. We need purity in our marriages if we're going to live from this day forward. If you want an abundant marriage, and abundance is our theme for 2023, if you want an abundant marriage, if you want a vibrant, life-giving marriage, purity is the fourth commitment that we need to make. The first one is, I'm going to what? Seek God. I'm going to fight fair. I'm going to have fun. Yeah, you got a little excited on that one. All right. And then we're going to stay pure. How do we do that? In your notes, there's two types of purity that we need to examine this morning. The first type is an outward purity. Outward purity, and this has to deal with our behavior, what we do and what we don't do. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, it says, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity. What is impurity? Basically, it's poison. Impurity is poison. We don't want any poison in our marriage. We're not talking about getting a little dust in your glass of water, okay? No, that's not that impurity. We're talking about cyanide in your water. You don't want poison in your water. We're not talking about, oh no, my mashed potatoes got, you know, into my chicken pot pie, so I can't eat it now. We're talking about a cat squats over your chicken pot pie and dumps diarrhea all over it. Isn't that a beautiful picture? But friends, when you have impurity in your marriage, you're bringing poison and diarrhea into your marriage. Keep the marriage bed pure from poison and diarrhea. I hope no one's having chicken pot pie for dinner today. You know, if you were, you're probably going out to eat. But no, we can't let impurity into our marriages or our dating relationships. Because God doesn't want us to be poisoned. It ruins our relationship with Him and our relationship with each other. Let's play a little bit of game here, okay? To make sure we're on the same page. I'm going to ask if there is a hint of sexual immorality in something, and you say either yes or no. All right? You got it? Here we go. Here's number one. If you're married and you have sex with your secretary, your babysitter, or the cute neighbor guy across the street, he always does his yard work with his shirt off and he's got six-pack abs, okay? Is there a hint of immorality in that? Yes, okay, good, you've got it. How about this? If you look at pornography while you're at work, while you're working out, or while you're hardly working, is there a hint of immorality in that? Yes. How about if you haven't gone all the way, you're dating and technically you're virgins, but you've just touched each other's private parts, but you haven't gone all the way. You're technically, you're a virgin. Is there a hint of immorality in that? Yes. How about if you lust over Angelina Jolie? And okay, ladies, I won't leave you out, Brad Pitt, okay? Is there a hint of immorality in that? Yes, there is. What about this one? If you dress provocatively, praise the Lord, look what Jesus gave me. Check it out, boys. You know, and maybe some would say, well, I don't like what I got, so I'm going to get new and improved. And hey, I'm pumping up, you know. There's nothing wrong with pumping up, all right? Just keep it between you and your husband. The whole world doesn't need to see that. If you dress provocatively, is there a hint of immorality in that? Yes, there is. If you go dirty dancing, you meet a guy or a gal at a bar, or you're on a business trip, or your spouse is out of town, is there a hint of immorality in that? What about if you're reading 50 Shades of Grey? Yes, I didn't even have a chance to say yes. You know, that stuff, some people say, well, it spices up my marriage. A little bit of mommy porn, these romance novels. Oh, friends, it's cat diarrhea. Don't let it squat on your marriage. Don't let there be a hint of immorality in your life. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 8, Solomon said this to his son about an adulterous woman. He said, keep to a path far from her. Don't go near her door, the door of her house. Stay away. Don't see how close you can get. Don't see, well, I'm just going to the Victoria's Secrets website. I'm not looking at pornography. They're covered up. Hey, stay away. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, Paul puts it this way, flee sexual immorality. Paul didn't say flirt with it, hang around with it. He said flee. He said run, Forrest, run! Get away from it. Don't let there be any hint of impurity in your life. I want to give you some practical boundaries that you can implement so that you can stay pure. Number one in your notes, purity protecting boundaries. One is never be alone with the opposite sex except your spouse and kids. Never be alone with the opposite sex except your spouse and kids. I have a rule, and actually it's a policy we have in the church, but us as pastors, we are never alone.
Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
moment alone with the lady, because here's the thing. I want to even abstain from the very appearance of evil. Friends, if you're never alone with the opposite sex, nothing can get started. You think about it. If you're not alone, when you're alone, that's when something can get started. If you're never alone with the opposite sex, nothing can get started. Number two, have an accountability partner. Have an accountability partner. Now, there's a lot of guys who say, my wife is my accountability partner. That's stupid, okay? Don't put that burden on your wife. She shouldn't have to carry that. Guys, you need another guy. Ladies, you need another lady. And yeah, ladies, it's good for you to have accountability partners. I know usually immorality seems to be more of an issue for guys, but it's not bad for ladies to ask tough questions of each other. I have a guy that we meet regularly, and we ask each other tough questions. Have you looked at anything you shouldn't be looking at? How's your married? Are you spending face-to-face time, side-to-side time, belly-button-to-belly-button time? You know, are you meeting each other's needs? We do that, and by doing, you know, it's funny because when you know someone's going to ask you, it's like, boy, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. And so having an accountability partner is critical, and one of the biggest things to ask your accountability partner is, have you just lied to me? Ask him that. By the way, if you're going out to lunch with your accountability partner to have an accountability meeting, don't go to Hooters, okay? Just a thought. Number three, scrutinize your entertainment choices. Scrutinize your entertainment choices. Rebecca and I, before we go to a movie or maybe rent one or pick one up at the library, a lot of times, most of the time, and we've learned from experience, to go to PluggedIn.com and check it out. Look at what the sexual content is, because there are times a movie looks great on the commercial, but they don't show you all the junk, and you get to the theater, and all of a sudden, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. And so scrutinize your entertainment choices. Check it out beforehand. We've got technology. You can know what you're going to watch. And, you know, for me, part of that scrutiny is I don't go back and watch Baywatch reruns, all right? You know, you just don't do that. I want no hint of immorality in my life. Number four, monitor your computers with reporting software. Covenant Eyes is just one of many great programs that they monitor every click, and then they send a report to a person you name as an accountability partner, and so they know, and it kind of even identifies, hey, this is potentially a bad website, and that person can know every click, everywhere you're going on the web. Number five, lock down your mobile phone with a filtered web browser. You can lock out YouTube and Safari. Those are just some things that you can do for purity protecting boundaries. I know some couples, they have a shared Facebook page. They don't have individual pages. They do a shared one. Or some people, they don't do Facebook at all. There are some people, to protect their purity, they share all of their passwords on their computers and tablets and phones so that their spouse can look at their phone anytime they want, so that it's just a way so that nothing is hidden. Nothing stays hidden from them. The big thing is make wise decisions so you can stay out of trouble. Set up boundaries. If you don't set up boundaries to protect your purity, it's going to be so easy for you to fall. All right, we've talked about outward purity, but now we need to look at a second type of purity, and that is inward purity. Inward purity, and this deals with the heart. This deals with the heart, and this is really the bottom line, because in our best efforts, we can try everything to be outwardly pure, but if our heart hasn't been changed and transformed, all the outward protections we have are not going to amount to anything. So we need to really focus on inward purity in our lives. We need God to transform our hearts so that we're living purely. David asked that question in Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11. He says, how can a young man keep his way pure? You know, that's a great question for our society today, because we live in a society where temptation is everywhere. There's more of it now than ever. We just talked about that. How does a young man keep his way pure? David answers his own question by living according to your word. The word of God. That's how I do it, the word of God. And then David shares a promise. He makes a promise to God in verse 10. He says, I seek you with what? All my heart. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So what am I going to do to stay pure? I'm going to seek God with all my heart. I'm going to seek the one with my two. Or I'm going to seek the one as I wait for my two. I'm going to seek God. I seek him in prayer and I seek him with his word because his word gives you power to overcome temptation. His word gives you power. I mentioned a few weeks ago that in our Freedom Conference, as they talked about purity, and I just wanted to be even more pure. I went down front and they prayed, and as they were praying for me, God gave me just this phrase, be a one-woman man, and that's based out of the Greek when it says be a husband of one wife. In the literal meaning of the text, it means be a one-woman man. And I just felt God say that to me, and I've been faithful to my wife all of our marriage, never had an affair, never cheated, but as I came out of the conference, it was like every time I faced temptation, like sometimes on your email, they've got these ads that pop up of women that don't look too good, or maybe we go swimming at the Y, and there's someone who's not wearing a very nice bathing suit. It shows a little bit more than they should. Or maybe you're at the mall or the grocery store, and someone's wearing something that's inappropriate. It's like almost every time that I'm faced with that, that word comes, be a one-woman man, be a one-woman man. And I tell myself, be a one-woman man, the word of God. I've memorized other scriptures. Job 31:1, I've made a covenant with my eyes to not look lustfully at a young woman. Remember Proverbs 5:18-19. How many remember that from last week about having fun? Rejoice in the wife of your youth. As a loving doe and a graceful deer, let her breasts satisfy you at all times. No one else's. And I tell myself that no one else's, only my wife's. Always be intoxicated with her love. Have the word of God. You hide God's word in your heart, and it helps you to overcome impurity. Amen. Amen. Hey, someone's out there listening. We need God to not only renew our minds, but renew our hearts. Because here's the thing. If you only renew your mind and you memorize these scriptures without asking God to change your heart, what happens is you're only repelled by it, and you're not also repulsed by it. You see, being repelled from immorality and impurity is God convicts you, and it's like, yep, I'm not going to do it, but you still want to do it. You're repelled, you don't do it outwardly, but you're not repulsed by it. You don't see it as poison that could kill you. You don't see it as cat diarrhea, that it's disgusting. Pray, God, help me to see cheating, immorality, lusting as cat diarrhea. All right? Isn't that an interesting prayer, huh? But I'm serious. We need to be repulsed by sin, not entertain it. What we do is we draw the bottom line of sin too high. We say, well, I'm not going to commit adultery, but I can lust, I can lust, I can lust, I can lust. Or I can flirt at work. I can flirt, 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 flirt. Or I can fantasize, fantasize, fantasize. We need to make our standard high. The bottom line of where sin is that we do not look lustfully at a young woman. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28, you've heard it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You see, adultery isn't just what you do with your body, it's what you do with your mind. It's what you do with your emotions. It's what you do with your heart. The heart matters. On your way out, there's a table, and there is a handout. It talks about having victory and wholeness in sexuality. We've shared it before, but it is a plan. It's something that God gave me, and I've shared before with you how as a kid I was abused several times by different cousins or neighbors, older teenage boys. And as a result, when I hit puberty and the hormones started flowing, there were desires that were awakened like crazy, and I tell you, I had a problem with lust. And as a result, that went through my teen years into college, and I began to assert the scriptures, call out to God, and those are truths in there that God gave me, because one of the lies the devil tells you, well, if you just look, if you just do this, if you just do that, you'll be satisfied. Friends, the truth is you'll never be satisfied. You're never satisfied. Lust never satisfies. Impurity never satisfies. And there's truths in there, and then there's scriptures. I give you some of the scriptures I use that I use so that when I face temptation, I renew my mind. I've hidden God's word in my heart so I don't sin against him. Pick it up on your way out so that you can be a person who doesn't even have a hint. And I realize there are some of you are saying, you know, I'm not addicted to porn. I don't look at porn. I'm doing pretty well. I'm better than most. Well, maybe you can even just take it a little notch higher. Just take it a little notch higher. We want to be a people that have absolute purity in our marriages and our dating relationships. There's three responses we can have to purity. I'm going to wrap it up with this. The first one is defensiveness. Well, that's just the way us guys are, okay? That's just the way a guy is. Hey, it's not my fault. If she met my needs, if he met my emotional needs, if he took time for me, hey, a little flirting doesn't hurt anyone. It's not like I had an affair. Well, she shouldn't be checking on my computer. What's she doing on there? She has no right to do that. How do we know if we're going to be compatible for marriage if we don't live together? Or it just saves us money. Or you're in a bad situation. Come live with me. It's okay. Because we're going to get married. Friends, if you are rationalizing, you have a rebellious heart towards God. Because God says the marriage bed should be honored by all. It should be kept pure. And when we are bringing a hint or more of immorality into our lives, we're rebelling against God. And we need to turn from that. Are you defensive this morning? Maybe as I've been talking, some of you, you've been bristling. You've been playing mental gymnastics. You've had arguments, why this and why that. God's talking to you, and he wants you to surrender. There's a second response, and that is remorse, that after they've done these things, I'm so bad, I'm so horrible, I'm a horrible person. I'm sorry I got caught. Not sorry I did it, sorry I got caught. Or I'm sorry I got pregnant. I wish I went to God. Why did I have to get pregnant? There is remorse, and it deals more with the feelings of how you feel or the consequences that it's brought on you, but it doesn't focus on the sin that we've committed. And the third response is the proper response towards God, and it is repentance. It's that we call it what God calls it. We call it sin. We confess our sin. We say, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm turning away from it. And my question for you today, for those who are in the house and those who are watching online, is which of those three responses do you fall under today? Do you fall under the repentance, the remorse, or do you fall under the first one, which is defensiveness? God is calling us to purity. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, repent and therefore be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Friends, as we repent and we renew our minds, and we're praying and spending time in the Word and prayer and saying, God, transform my heart, God's going to give us refreshing and renewal, and he'll transform us, and he'll make us people of purity. Let's pray together this morning. Father, I pray right now that with your grace and your love, you would sweep over this place, and that all of us who are under conviction, that we would forsake our sin and turn to meet you with your forgiveness, your strength, and your power.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.